Okay, exactly 8 o'clock, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 1st August 2024, Thursday class. So as usual, we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. We are at Unique Dhamma Code number 121. So as usual, we will gather and have our physical puja before we start the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Se Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Se Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Se Bồ Tát. Namo药师佛。Namo药师佛。Namo药师佛。Namo文殊菩萨。Namo文殊菩萨。Namo文殊菩萨。Namo 佛菩萨。那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿僧萨玛三菩提巴嘎瓦，不当巴嘎瓦当阿毗瓦帝密，娑迦多巴嘎瓦他达摩。Dhammang namassami Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Micaccara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramerayamajapamadattana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then to page 3 of the chanting book. We'll continue with our Padipa Puja chanting. Gannasarappadittena Dipena tamadangsina Tilokadipangsambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dukkhena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena nena Punena matena ca hotu mokang Upang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati binasa pawang Adiwase tono bante Paniyang palikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tuno bante Pare parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang. Now we just chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the affinity, condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pacchemi. Dhammang pacchemi. Sanghang pacchemi. Okay, you all can be seated. So tonight, before we start, I got a small announcement. Let us rejoice with the wholesomeness of Tamasri and Brother Teo's daughter, Sister Min Jun. They just visited their daughter in the recent 2 weeks trip. And it seems when the daughter was at one of the temple in, where is that place? Hangzhou, in one of the temple. What is the name of the temple? Lingyingshi, yeah. She suddenly saw the medicine Buddha, Yao Shifo, and she just told the parents, say, "I want to buy," and offer it to Tuesday class. So we should all rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. It's very strange indeed because Yao Shifo, as you all know, he has great special vow. That's why he is a very unique Buddha. He is called the Medicine Buddha. So if you want to develop affinity with him, you can actually develop a lot of very good parami as Medicine Buddha. His vow, his unique ability, to actually cure the sick and help the sick and suffering beings. But he manifests in a very different manner. He not only saves those who are sick and other things, he actually saves a lot of potential cultivator of the way and a lot of beings that actually has the potential to develop a lot of goodness and wholesomeness. And so somehow when I was reflecting on all this, I saw the images come by itself. So everything depends on affinity, condition, and whatever that is within the evolution of consciousness and the nature's laws movement, it will manifest. Then, as I always said, in fact, earlier on, my wife also mentioned, she said she also wanted to have this Wenshu Pusa image at the Wutaisan trip. I said, never mind, let things be. So suddenly at the trip, I saw Padmasri, but they bought one very nice. So this one is Thursday class. Then I saw my house there, all the image there already, except Yao Shifo. Wenshu, of course, after Padmasri bought, I just say, just let it be. Then the Yao Shifo really appear. So it is meant to be. And the reason why I had this understanding and I want to share it with Kaimita is because seldom people develop strong affinity with Yao Shifo, Medicine Buddha. And it so happened, Padmasri's daughter, Min Jun, she studied DCM Medical, and she is a doctor. If she can have affinity, Yao Shifo will help her a lot. And I think these are like affinity from the past meant to be. Then for us as cultivator of the way, we must develop more and more affinity, all the great beings, especially all the great bodhisattva and Maha Bodhisattva together with all the Sammāsambuddha, whatever nature they may have. You can cultivate affinity, it will be very, very beneficial for us all. We are every of these Sammāsambuddha and great beings. They have their unique quality and blessings, plus special, unique perfection and understanding. So all this, when they manifest, we should rejoice. One more time, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may this wholesomeness pave the way for Sister Minjun and her family, including Papa Sri Bradil and Jim Tai. They all to develop all the pure wish and noble wishes that they intend to perfect and develop. So may it pave the way for all this to materialize in the distant future. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so with that, we continue our session. We were off the light so that we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. By now, I think most Kayamita would have good understanding of what it is. It is a type of meditation that enables us to develop the stability of inner mindfulness and awareness. That's why it's called awareness-based meditation. You develop the stability of awareness to develop the meditation. Because without this awareness, you cannot be heedful. You need to develop the stability of awareness to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, constantly meditative. Then only you can be heedful in the midst of life. So the four support that I have shared with you all, they are very useful. Especially the first three, relax into every mind state that arises. Relax body and mind completely. Then after relax, maintain awareness. Don't allow the thought to like heedlessly wanders off or proliferate, verbalize or chatter. Just silence everything. When you are without thought, you will realize your true mind. But for you to settle down until you don't have any thought is not easy, especially for those who have not trained. But for us who have developed the training, it's very easy. The moment you relax and maintain awareness, your mind settles down. Then the original state, which is your true mind, your silent mind, with the spiritual faculty, they will stabilize and develop the tranquility and stillness of mind. And this is how you develop the inner awareness. Because this silent mind is your true mind. And it is the true mind that can develop the stability of awareness and sati. Sometimes we call it the silent mind. This is our meditative mind that can enable us to develop the meditative wisdom. We are silencing, observing, silently observing nature, whatever that arises within our form and mind, within existence. And the way we develop the understanding of it is very important. You will come to realize how you function as a human being, how you know the world, and how you interact with the world. Without the senses, without the consciousness trapped inside, there can be no contact. And without contact of consciousness with the sense basis, it cannot arise a respective sense nor consciousness for us to know things. So every moment of consciousness, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, when they manifest, this is how we know the world. through our senses. Then after it arrives, what happened? That one is very important. That is where you develop the wisdom. How the mind actually move, stir, and react to sense experience when they arise. This is mindfulness leading to understanding. The Buddha said, silently observing what is the reality, to see things as they are. So this is what we call the direct seeing, the silent mind observing. When you observe, you will start to understand the movement, and you will start to understand how all this movement comes to be. Then you will understand why the Buddha say everything within the conditioned world are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So they are all dependent originating, following the dwelling, paticca samuppada. The pure observation can trigger off understanding or what we call wisdom awakening. So when you are able to insight into phenomena and awaken to their three universal characteristics, that's how you awaken to the truth and the reality. And at the same time, through all this silent observation with the pure awareness nature within, you also develop the wisdom behind how you function as a human being, how your mind stir and react to sense experience when it does not have the right view, right understanding, and how delusion trigger off the evil roots, the mental hindrance that condition our sufferings. Then through all this observation and understanding, you can retrospectively develop the wisdom to reverse all this reaction and stirring of mind. And this is what meditation is all about, or what they call vipassana, is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. So relax, maintain awareness to observe, the silent mind observing. Then after that, stabilize this inner awareness. Don't try to do, don't try to know, and don't try to create any more thinking. Just maintain that silent mind. Aware, finish. Whatever arises within your six senses, aware, silent, finish. When you can do that, then your silent mind, meditative mind, will stabilize. Especially when you have developed the Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, when your five spiritual faculty are very stable, then when you have developed the training to stabilize your silent mind, to realize your true mind, that wisdom, that stability or awareness within can help you develop all the necessary awakening and understanding to become enlightened. Yeah. So when wisdom starts to dawn upon you, your mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. It does not behave like before. It does not stir, react to sense experience anymore. It does not develop the heedless thinking, the chattering, the internal dialogue. Yeah. So all this can lead to the meditative understanding of the Dhamma. Okay, with this, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue your meditation. Yeah. Then, of course, the last support is trust. Yeah. The one I have explained before. This one you only do when you have the ability to stabilize the inner awareness really. And you stay at the heart and allow that nature to move by itself. It's trusting your inner awareness nature to develop the meditative movement within. Okay, so now I will set the alarm and you continue with your training. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to stabilize your mind while living life. We call it the daily mindfulness, stability of inner awareness throughout the day. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We'll do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta shiaka walesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atase bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhase. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sardi satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko akaliko ehi paseko upanayiko pachyatang veditaku vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Samijjipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjalikaraniyo anuttaram punyam ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, now you can be seated. Then maintain some more awareness or attention. Then we will continue with our sharing. We are at unit Dhamma code 121. Yeah? Before that, I would like to go through unit Dhamma code 120 again, yeah? Just to refresh on what we have gone through in the previous session. Yeah? So this unit Dhamma code 120, which is on page 34 of this book, straight from the heart, unit Dhamma code by me. Huh? Visati and Samadhi develop wisdom or Panya, the fifth spiritual faculty will arise. So this is a very important understanding. Huh? That's why without sati or mindfulness or awareness, you cannot stabilize it to become samadhi. So without sati, there is no samadhi. Without sati and samadhi, you cannot have the true mind to realize the truth, to awaken to the truth, to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are. But this is the silent mind. The mind that is in sati with its stability, sati samadhi. Sati and samadhi are the natural characteristic of our true mind. This is the one that can develop the wisdom and understanding. So this one is very important. Then with wisdom, all these five spiritual Sorry, all these five mental hindrances of mind, they will cease, and the mind will be in the meditative state all the time, naturally, because no more mental hindrance. So in the last session, I shared with you how when we develop the five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, it will enable you to counter all the five mental hindrances that cause the mind to be heedless. And because of that, you can develop the meditative mind. They are called mental hindrances: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. All these five mind states are called mental hindrances, where when they arise, it causes you to develop mental hindrance. And these are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That whenever you have all these five mental hindrance, it will hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. And what are they? They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, sleepy mind, the mind that is without virya. Yeah. So all these are not conducive for one to develop the meditative state. The fourth mental hindrance is restlessness of mind. Your mind is restless, not peaceful. The reason why it is in this state, where there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow, lamentation. Because of all this mind state, it cannot settle down. It cannot return to its original state of awareness before the stirring. So because of that, this is a mental hindrance. So when your mind is not peaceful, it will become restless. And the key condition behind is state of restlessness is because you have problem, you have fear, you have worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or they call all the negative tendency, even your insecurity, your phobia, your negativity of mind state, like envy, jealousy, hatred, all this. They give rise to all these mental hindrance. That's why your mind will not have the ability to settle down and to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, to be aware. And of course, the last one is doubt. When you have doubt, there is no faith, no understanding, then you're not sure. Doubt in the triple gem. Doubt in whatever you do. You are not confident. You don't have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. You don't have the right understanding. So all this will make you very, very heedless, in the sense that this trigger of mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. So in order to overcome all this, we need to develop the opposite spiritual faculty. That's why I taught you all how to develop from Saddha, Virya, through knowing who the Buddha is, how special and unique a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching is. So Saddha and Virya can be developed when you come to understand who is the Buddha and how unique a being he is. And also when you understand how wonderful his teaching is, that will give you all the requisite faith to go this way. So faith is Saddha, when your faith is very strong, born of understanding who the Buddha is and how unique a being he is and how special and wonderful his teaching is, then you become different. Then that Saddha or faith can drive you to develop the understanding of his teaching. And that is the second spiritual faculty, Virya. So when that Virya arises, it will give rise to the causes and conditions for you to develop the sati of mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. Because without sati, you cannot move, you cannot meditate. That's why everything needs sati. Mindfulness needs sati. Stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness also needs sati. Without sati, there is no true mind, silent mind, to meditate and to insight into phenomena to realize the truth. So all these are connected, related. Then once sati develops, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then your mind becomes collected and unwavering. Samadhi means the free mind that is collected and unwavering, not in a meditative state, but in a relaxed state of inner awareness, born of wisdom, born of what they call right understanding and right view, so that your mind will never stir, react to whatever happened within life, within existence. So all these are the important understanding. That way you have sati and samadhi, I already explained. That is your true mind, the silent mind. That one can insight into phenomena and awaken to realize the truth, which is panya. So the five spiritual faculty to counter that mental hindrance to realize the truth is very important. So now I read again, you will understand. With sati and samadhi develop wisdom or panya, which is the fifth spiritual faculty, they will arise. Then with wisdom, all the five mental hindrances will cease to be. And the mind will be in the meditative state all the time, naturally, because no more mental hindrance to hinder your mind. So this is a very important. After that, the next verse, 1-2-1, will become meaningful. Once you have that meditative mind, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty develop, then you have wisdom and understanding, then your mind behaves differently. It does not react and stir when confronted with sense activity or sense experience. So that is the uniqueness of the mind that has been trained, that has developed a spiritual faculty leading to the wisdom. That's why here under verse 21 I mentioned, sense restraint born of understanding or wisdom will arise. And this sense restraint born of wisdom or understanding is very profound. It is not blindly trying to suppress or control and bottle up one's emotions without being aware of the evil roots that cause the internal conflict within oneself. So this unique code is very, very unique. And to understand it is not easy unless you cultivate and develop that wisdom. Then automatically you will have sense restraint. Well, once the meditative mind is there, the spiritual faculty is there, the wisdom will also be there. Then sense restraint means whenever you confront sense object or sense of consciousness, there's every moment of thought process, whether seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, your mind is always at peace, where there is sense restraint. That's why under the what they call Avijja Sutta, there is the enlightenment cycle where you have 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta that leads to ultimate enlightenment. So the first five, and the sixth one, they are all developed based on sati and mindfulness and the spiritual faculty. That's why the first one is to have Dhamma friends. When you have Dhamma friends, you have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That is the second steps. So like us, Kayamita, we have all the first step, which is Kayamitas. So as Kayamita Dhamma friend, we have a lot of Dhamma friends. So the first step or prerequisite to develop enlightenment has been developed. That's why the Buddha say Kayamita is 100% of the holy life, not just 50%, 100%. Without Kayamita, you cannot. Then when you have Kayamita, you have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That is step two. Then when you constantly listen to the true Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and then straighten your view, developing all the first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom, then you develop the sadha, which is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And that is the third step. Then after that, you continue to train yourself until you develop all the other subsequent step, which is mindfulness and clear comprehension. So mindfulness and clear comprehension is very important. Once you can develop that mindfulness and clear comprehension, you will be able to develop the wisdom which the Buddha called Yoniso Manasikara. And when Yoniso Manasikara arises, you will have what we call sense restraint. That's why the enlightened being, even the Sotapanna, minimum they would have the sense restraint to keep their five precepts. Yeah. Then after that step, sense restraint, you move on to step seven, which is the three types of right conduct. Yeah. Right thought, right speech, right action, leading to, of course, right living or right livelihood. All this become automatic. Then by then, you have become an Arya, at least first stage of sainthood, Sotapannaship, or Sakadagamiship, second stage of sainthood. Then after that only, you move on to step 8 to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, you will move on to step 9, which is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. So these seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising in you. And when you realize that, you know you are on the right path, you cannot go wrong, you cannot deviate anymore. That's why after that, the natural consequence of step 10 is enlightenment in the here and the now, the realization of Nibbana. So all these are connected. Sense restraint, born of wisdom, not born of concentration or conditioned mind state. Yeah. Born of one-pointedness, absorption, focusing, concentration. That one is a different samadhi. That type of samadhi is samatha in nature, not born of wisdom. This sense restraint must be born of wisdom, or what we call right understanding. And this one is very profound, which means when you are in the midst of life, living or living life, whatever arises, every moment of sense experience, there is sense restraint. Means your mind does not stir and react to sense experience like before. That's why it is in the state of equanimity, the last factor of enlightenment, born of wisdom. So when there is this stability of equanimity, born of wisdom, there is perfect sense restraint. And because of that, the mind does not stir, does not react, does not create any more thought activity or sankhara movement. And because of that, most of the time, you are in that peaceful state of internal tranquility and stillness of mind. You are always with your true mind, the silent mind, either in specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center, with hardly any thought. That's why most of the time your mind is quiet. There is space. There is energy. There is what they call awareness nature within. Most people who are not trained, who are not accustomed to this way of developing the awareness-based meditation, they cannot. They think a lot. Their mind is heedless. Heedlessly lost in thought throughout the day. And they think a lot. And because of that, they hardly have any space within thought. When there is no space, you become heedless. You become clouded. You start to develop a lot of mental activity that are detrimental to your physical health and mental health. You create a lot of conflict in life, a lot of suffering while going through life. And your mind become like easily excited through all your delusion, ignorance, your craving, your attachment, your grasping, your clinging. You take the unreal as the real. You take the illusory world as something very tangible, very real, very beautiful, very useful, and you want to own them. You want to possess them. You want to cling on to them. And you give meaning to a lot of things. You attach, hold, and cling to the phenomenal world of consciousness without wisdom and without any understanding. So this is how, without the wisdom and the understanding, you cannot cope with life. So coming back to understanding this two code, unique code 120 and 121, I will explain it via the four circle formation so that you can understand better. You see, what happened is from the source, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. This is where sati is, the awareness nature is. So this one is the primordial, first to come out. And this one is always there with the living beings. Whenever you take birth to come to the existential world, this one is already within you. And there's a gateway that can allow you to return to the source. Yeah. But living beings don't understand. They don't know that there is this pure awareness nature that can lead you back to the source or the realization of Nibbana, or to develop the penetrative cultivation or training through the Bodhisattva way to become Sama Sambuddha. So this first two circles, most living beings or cultivator, even human beings, they have very little understanding or hardly any understanding. So what happened is we are only familiar with the third circle and the fourth circle. So when we are born, actually before you develop the brain activity, the accumulated experiences, good and bad, your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, they are all accumulated at the brain there. So when all this knowledge or accumulated experiences are there, you develop what they call knowledge, a lot of knowledge, good and bad. Then as we know, how did thought arise? Thought arise because of response to all these memories that we actually accumulate in the brain. That's why the brain cells has a lot of memory. Yeah. So the baby, newly born baby, don't have all these accumulated memory. That's why they cannot create thought. They use the pure awareness nature to see, to sense. That's why they don't know anything, but they have a nature inside them. That's why they are very cute, they are very naive. That's how they grew up. As you grew up, the conditioning, the whatever teaching from the people who take care of you, the society, the education system, the social media, or whatever, this one starts to develop, and you start to develop more and more thought activity, more and more conditioning, knowledge. Then they try to make you like very smart, very intelligent, very special. That's why they send you to all those schools where they can afford the child special child school and all those things to try to accelerate your intellect or your whatever expertise, and they call it intelligence. Then by doing that, you think you can excel in the academic field, then it will lead to your ability to have a good job, a good career, and make all the good money in life. Then the materialistic attraction will lure you into the new world, or what we call our existential world or society, where there is a lot of competition, a lot of what they call activity moving on. Then without wisdom, you get caught entangled. Then you don't even understand how you function as a human being. This formal mind or mundane mind or thinking mind, this is the third circle that you are familiar with. You use this a lot. That's why you think a lot. And without thought, you think there is no way you can understand life or live life. So you forgot that you have another nature within before the arising of thought. And all this before you develop the meditative training and understanding, you are completely lost and you don't know what is going on. You are here and here, nonstop. From the senses, you create the consciousness. That's why we call this world the phenomenal world of consciousness. This is where the existential world is. This is where the conditioned world is. And this is where existence create a lot of chaotic condition to lure living being and to entice them to grasp, to cling and hold, sometimes to fight. That's why all here war, conflict, everything arise. So these two you are familiar. When you are in this state, how can you come back to the meditative state? That's why my this two unique code is, when you are here, you're supposed to train this mundane mind, thinking mind, develop the ability to silence it so that it can move to here and return to the pure awareness state. That's why develop sati, stabilize this sati. So to do that, you know your mind cannot settle down and become this is because you have mental hindrance. You remember? So you need to cultivate the five spiritual faculty when you're here. Then after that, develop the awareness-based meditation to come back to here, to stabilize everything. So spiritual faculties to counter the mental hindrance is number one. Then when your spiritual faculty is developed, Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya is developed. You stabilize it until you become balas or paho. That's why our chanting, the pre-puja chanting, everything is help you to make the aspiration to stabilize your spiritual faculty by invoking power or merits for it to become powers or balas. Then once you develop this, very easy. The spiritual faculty will counter the mental hindrance. There is no more mental hindrance. Means your mind, like I mentioned under unique code 20, it will naturally be in the state of sati, mindfulness, the true mind. That one will naturally arise. No need to do anything. That's why the spiritual faculty will root out the mental hindrance. And it will transform your mind into that pure or what we call it, the silent mind, the true mind, the meditation. That is straight away take you back to here. And then you follow the force support to develop awareness-based meditation that is stabilized. Then when you are able to stabilize this pure awareness, you are always here. You are not lost in thought here. You no longer be deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness that actually create all the delusion and illusion to distract you, to lure you, to entice you, and to entangle you. So through this pure awareness, you can see things as they are. Develop the right understanding and wisdom, and you understand who you are, what you are, how you function as a living being. Then through all this understanding, you develop the wisdom. Retrospectively reverse all this so that you no longer become heedless and react to sense experience like before. And that is what Yoniso Manasikara is. That's why without Yoniso Manasikara or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot actually develop sense restraint. Without sense restraint, when you are here, you get yourself entangled. You react to all your sense experience. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, you react to what? Your delusion, your subjectivity, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant stirring of mind. Then all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, your emotion, your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your violence, your insecurity, your fear, your craving, your whatever attachment, clinging, grasping. All this manifests because you lack wisdom. That's why wisdom is very important. And without wisdom, there is no sense restraint. And to develop wisdom, you need the five spiritual faculty. That's why the whole cultivation finally come back to stabilizing this mundane mind with the spiritual faculty. Then after that, develop the understanding of what pure awareness nature is to use the four support that I have taught you to meditate and stabilize your pure awareness nature to go back to this pure awareness nature which was originally there. The first thing to come out. And from here, all creation start. All thought activity, thought manifestation, the aggregates of mind, sankhara activity, or what we call your mundane mind, that trigger of psychological thinking, psychological time. So like Song Kim Do Do, when psychological time arrives, all things arise. That's why the Buddha said, our mind, which is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. When this mundane mind arises, psychological time moves, all of creation starts, the movement, the manifestation, then the conflict, the chaotic, whatever, movement. The whole of the conditioned world's phenomenon, this starts to develop the activity. And this is the one that continue to evolve. Then is governed by the five panchaniyama, law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma or truth. Then the scientific law also, uttuniyama and bijaniyama. And this is how you can develop the understanding. So here, the pure awareness nature, we call it the PA nature. This one is the mundane mind, MM. Then this one is the PWC, or phenomenal world of consciousness. This one is the source, or the original nature, the true nature, the oneness nature. Some call it the singularity, where everything arises. This is the source of all things. So this four circle formation, you need to develop awareness-based meditation to understand, especially this one. This one can be developed until very, very far, but you need to take the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, you do the sainthood way, you only have a glimpse of what this thing is. Then you develop the wisdom, then the cessation, then you become enlightened and you cease. But you don't come back anymore. Yeah, you don't have the understanding, and you don't have the what they call necessary requisite understanding to come back again with a pure mind without avijja. That one only bodhisattva have the understanding, and you need the vow, the four basic vow. Without that, you cannot. And you need to understand both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. And both these two nature need to be understood. The karmic nature, which this living being is subject to. The moment you are born into this world, the Buddha said, you are born of your karma. Heir to your karma. Condition supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So from here, it will start to have its influence on you. Then when you develop this understanding, you follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate by taking care of your karma. We are avoiding all evil, do good and purify your mind, which means you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. You are developing Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Then from there, you develop the spiritual faculty, the spiritual understanding to enhance or to develop this spiritual nature so that this nature can help you in the future. And this one is like similar to the karmic nature. This one is within the nature's law. Whatever you cultivate, whatever wisdom and understanding you develop, they are not wasted. They will be stored up there, like your karmic nature. But this spiritual nature, the only difference is when you are born as a human being, when you are here, you cannot inherit immediately. Yeah, you cannot. But karmically, the karmic nature, you will inherit everything that it delivers to you. That's why you are born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Then you need to meditate. You need to silence your mind to realize this. Before you realize your pure awareness nature, the spiritual nature cannot come back to you. You cannot connect. Where this one, the inheritor, need this pure awareness. Only the pure awareness can receive the inheritance. Not until you are at this particular pure awareness nature. You cannot inherit anything. That's why I say you must meditate and develop the appropriate requisite condition for you to receive the spiritual understanding. Inheriting means whatever you have in the past, they will come back to you. That's why after I started the cultivation, I remember 1986 onward when Kuan Yin came in the message, asked me to move fast, not much time left. 86, I start. Then 87, 88, 89, I realize, I connect back. The moment I connect back, once I realize this, my past came back to me. All my past cultivation came back to me. That's why my nature can teach and share with you a lot of things that I never learned this life, this segment of my life. Then how did I know them? How did I understand them? Like the three ways, yeah? Ask for forgiveness, vow not to repeat all this, we are following the advice of the Buddha, then invoke our merits. And all the Dhamma teaching, including the gateway thing and all things. Most of all this, I never really learned this life. Even my teacher and my guide, they taught me different things. Everyone taught me something, different thing. Yeah. But the whole understanding came back to me after 1989. Then after that, like all the whatever truth that I receive or I hear or I read, I can understand, and then I can share. And the way I share is so different from what is written in the text and the book. That's why you can easily deduce from all this that there is such a cultivation which only the great beings and the Samasambuddha understand. And this one is very extensive, way beyond the sainthood way. This one is what the great beings and the Bodhisattva, they tread this path, this cultivation. That's why this understanding is very profound, very beautiful. That's why I mentioned that sense restraint, yeah, understanding or wisdom is very profound. Yeah. Because that kind of sense restraint is not trying to suppress your anger, your emotion. So a lot of cultivators, the way they don't have the understanding, they use their logical mind or thinking mind to maybe develop the so-called knowledge. They say, after you become enlightened, you cannot get angry anymore. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. But then as you develop the cultivation, you think you are enlightened, right? You think you are what stage and what stage of enlightenment. Then in life, you cannot lie. You will know. Right? You realize you still have anger. You still have what they call fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind still react and stir when confronting sense experience. A lot of things in life, especially the First Noble Truth reality, when they hit you, you cannot cope. And because of that, what they do is they try to act like they are enlightened. Understand? They suppress their fear. They suppress their anger. They try to live in such a way that, oh no, I don't have fear. I don't have anger. I don't have those negative tendencies. Because sometimes they go to the extent where they say, oh, I'm now very compassionate. I'm on vegetarian and all those things. I cannot eat all those whatever thing that cause life. And all this is what we call trying to suppress, control, and do things not with wisdom, not with understanding. When you have the wisdom and the understanding, the sense restraint is automatic. Understand? It's born of wisdom. And you don't need to suppress or control or do anything. It's all natural. The moment you see, you hear, you smell, you take tactile, if you think, that understanding from the nature manifests. You don't have to go to memory to retrieve. Oh, what did the Buddha teach? Huh? What did the Dhamma book write? Huh? Oh, I must not have this, I must not have that. The ego is still very strong. And you try to live in a way as if you try to comply with what enlightenment is that is written in the text or spoken by people. Not knowing that the real understanding is from that nature. Nothing to do with memory. Nothing to do with the knowledge that one carries. So that wisdom, born of understanding, is very important. Born of the direct seeing, the awakening, insight into phenomena. All this can trigger understanding or awakening, then your nature awakens. Not that memory or that knowledge. That knowledge cannot awaken. That one store up in the brain. That one, once the form and mind separate, the whole of the brain, the memory leaves you. It's knowledge. But wisdom, different. The spiritual nature store up. So whatever that is been developed as wisdom is stored. Then whenever you come as a bodhisattva, or before you have the understanding of the bodhisattva way, you can still develop the understanding and the wisdom until finally, when you develop the inheritance from the spiritual nature, you will understand all this. Then you will know how it manifests and how it can really become a living reality, and how cultivator of the way can develop the clear understanding to understand life and to live life, as per the saying in the Heart Sutra. When you realize true emptiness, life become wonderful. 真空妙有. So these are the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. When you develop them and cultivate them accordingly, all this understanding can unfold and you can become very beautiful. That's why you can become a blessing to all of humanity, mankind, even to society, to the environment, to all of existence. Because the truth of it is, we are all one. From that nature, the source, the original nature, all things arise. Then all things will return. But there is such thing as life, existence. That part is not easy to understand. But when you have the correct cultivation, you will understand both the condition and the unconditioned. That's why you need to take the Bodhisattva way, the very extensive cultivation, to understand both the conditioned world and the unconditioned world, so that you understand life and you can live life to the fullest. Yeah? And realize or come to experience all of the wonders, pristine wonders and beauties of life. Then you can live it. Then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Then like the Buddha described under the three phases of Dhamma, you can experience them all. First is, of course, pariyatti, the learning of the Dhamma, the teaching. Then put into practice to realize the enlightenment, patipatti. That is phase two of Dhamma. Then when you awaken already, you get to live life following the third phase of Dhamma, pativeda, where you can live the life of an enlightened being with that wisdom and understanding. To experience life, to live life, to understand all of life, so that you can have the good life. Means you reap the fruit of your good karma, good cultivation, and understanding. So all this is what we can develop if we cultivate this beautiful, unique teaching of the Buddha. Okay, I think we will stop here. What's the time now? So now we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question and Dhamma sharing that you may have.
Right, Mr. Steele, Ogamita, 晚上好. Brother, 我上一次有share讲, 我在做工的时候, the top bay disturbed,
and
it might to arise.
对对对,
and then, 过后不久, 几个礼拜过后, then 有一天下午做工, 他又也是一样的这样子, 我在做工的时候，他就这样子 manifest， 你就看出那个满地麦，对对对，这里，他就这样子升上来， then 他过后就跟着有那个sensation， 那个 feel，
然后你一看他的时候，他就灭掉，
continue做工。 then 过后第二次，他又feels minutes 过后，他又 arise
啊，这一次他更
strong， then 更 clear 的让你去看，这个满地脉 arise， then 他带着那个sensation
啊，
那个 fear 的 sensation，
对对对。对对
rice 来 stir 你
啊，
你一看到它的时候，它又全部又啊，它又灭掉两次
啊。
Then the next day, the next 2 days 哦，
嗯，
哇，就在这个 hard area 那个伤口，它就一直在那边一直 moving， 一直
啊啊啊
，whole day 一直在那边，哇，一直 check， 一直 move， 一直 check，
嗯，
然后我就静静的一直看着它哦，哇，就哇，这个时候真是很考功，
呀呀呀，
就没有 talk， 就是看住他。Then after that， 他灭掉了过后 ，then surprising 的很多的那种understanding，
呀呀，他会先出来。So what is important is 下一次啊，你不要 just 看着他，你知道吗？你 stay with it， stay with it， means the awareness and 那个 sankara activity or movement 啊，那个 like 你说那个 emotion 啊。The fear or whatever, stay with it. You stay with it, faster. 他不用去看了。The 看呢 is still like the awareness is still trying to be aware, although there is no thought, like what you described. But when you silence everything, don't try to know, don't try to do, just nature with it. Then 你看到他的灭 that one will give you more understanding. Because What 你看到的是 after you let it be 啦，你看着它 let it be 嘛 ，then 它就灭掉啊。But 最好是不要看，什么都不要做 ，silent everything, be with that nature 啊。Then profoundly understand what happened after that. Well, after that 啊，你 realize 啊 ，that whole sankara activity or movement 啊，来你讲的啊，它是 the unfinished。Fear or movement that you need to understand and clear on. You need to develop the wisdom to actually 除掉它 root 掉它 So that one, you need to silence everything and stay with it until 它自己灭掉 Because when you are just aware without any thought or even any mind trying to look or do anything, that complete nature will be one.With that movement, that activity. So when that thing happens, it's like sati, understand not? Then your original mind returns. Then you realize profoundly inside there, all these are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not intrinsic within your true mind. Your true mind has got nothing of this. So no need to know anything. The realization of it isVery much more important. So next time, immediately silent. 不用去 watch, 不用去看 Just stay with it. 比如你那个 stay, 你错过很多次了。So 现在要了解那个 more effective way, which is just allow that nature stay with it. Then let it happen. Then that cessation or mere,means the sankara activity and movement, they will actually slow down and finally cease. Why? Because you are no longer giving it all the thought energy that last time you unknowingly, that these are the habitual tendency and movement that you have not rooted out completely. That's why they off and on 会现出来的。就是 like,Want to tell you that this is what you need to really finally develop as wisdom so that it can be completely rooted out. Otherwise, this one can take a while. Take a while. So, 记得 silence everything, just stay with it. 什么都不要做 The third way, aware. Nobody is aware, nothing. Just that awareness and that thing. Let it merge. Then, 你就了解 what that nature.Is that nature is a very powerful purifying force. By not doing anything, it purifies. It develops the wisdom and understanding. Like the Buddha asked Ananda to go and get the water, you remember? The blockade, crossover, stir, milky. 那个 water not conducive. Then on the third time, when nothing stirs the mind,You go and collect is clear water. But that is your original mind, your true mind, before the stirring. Every time the blocker stir, that's why you see all the sankhara activity, the fear, the emotion, whatever. Sometimes very subtle, sometimes very like more prominent or more intense. Then sometimes it's movement is for you to learn, for you to understand. Well, all these are sankhara manifestation. Why are they there? Your avijja still not completely rooted out. There is some initial wisdom or stability or wisdom, but it cannot root it out because these are the one that need stability or wisdom to root it out. So stability or wisdom can only come from that nature. That's why initially a lot of people need to contemplate, reflect until very clear, until very stable. Then finally, they have to do the third way, or what we call the third way to develop the understanding, to cease the mind or sankhara activity. Means the third way is not to do anything, silent, just aware. That nature, the awareness nature and the emotion as one. Then let it cease. Then you realize after it ceases, the awareness is still there. You know? Then you realize that your heart there completely hollow. Then you realize this is your true mind, the silent mind. And all this stirring movement, or what they call emotion, or mind activity, they are not intrinsic. They were not there before that. They are dependent originating entity. That realization is very powerful. That's why you have to go through it. Then you feel here, tranquil, hollow, still, beautiful. Then you realize, this is the original state. This is the true nature. And this nature can nothing one. 本来无一物, 来六祖慧能, understand not? 何处惹尘埃? All this so-called defilement or what? Or emotion or whatever, mind activity, they are dependent originating. They come and they go. They are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. Means mind make are they manifestation through our senses, wrong view and delusion. So that profound understanding need to be realized through the pure awareness nature staying with that whatever activity. So 不用去 fear 它, 怕它, want to get rid of it, or want to develop all the very good understanding. What you approach is useful initially. You just observe it and let it cease. But most people, the mind behind, you think you observe, there is the subtle defilement moving behind. That's why it takes a while for the thing to disappear. But when you silence everything with the awareness, it disappears very fast. Within less than a minute or two, you can see the whole thing. Slowly, slowly, the agitation, the whatever movement, or they just slow down, then cease. Yeah. And sometimes it ceases very fast. Like you say, you use your wisdom to understand it, then it like disappears. That one is still at the wisdom level or understanding level, but you never use your awareness nature to go in. Understand? The awareness nature go in, they use the word that there is no analysis involved. Understand? No need to use anything to make it cease. Yeah. Because that nature is a purifying force, remember. Purifying force. 它自己会让你了解的. Because anything that come into contact with the pure awareness nature, they cannot survive that. Because this is the unconditioned. You don't give it any more thought energy, no more the subtle one, all cannot come in. Then it just stay there. That's why the awareness and that thing as one. That's silent. Completely. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, and let it cease. 那个就会 root out the whole thing. Then after that, you come to create understanding. Then you realize not as a knowledge or word that people describe to you before. Means through your own direct seeing, you saw the cessation. The awareness is aware of this movement and how it ceases. Then you realize this awareness nature is without anything. It's just a pure awareness nature. That's why this one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. And this one is the unconditioned. It's a very powerful, purifying nature, awareness nature. That's why whatever that comes into contact with it sees. Then when it sees, you realize what that thing is. That is your true mind, your silent mind. So which means that true mind, which is nothing, has no sankhara, nothing. There's all this sankhara, emotion or feeling or whatever, or the movement of fear, these are what they call dependent origination entity, not intrinsic within our nature. Means it's not you, not inside you. These one are manifestation, like the mundane mind. From the pure awareness nature, it creates thinking, it creates stirring. And all this, you cannot develop the understanding of it until you completely silence, stay at the nature to observe it. Then the observation which you have done earlier on give you that kind of wisdom. But to really develop the penetrative wisdom, bhavana maya panya, you need to use the third way, aware, then let it cease. Yeah. So the awareness is very important. Right? Like the Buddha say, after that, trace the origination factor. How do you trace? He gave the example of the five mental hindrance. He said when there is this mental hindrance of sensual desire, you will, or any of the mental, what they call, hindrance. So when you are aware, means you know how the arisen mental hindrance, like your fear, yeah, that inside there, yeah, that movement, you will come to know how it, what they call, cease. Because after you stay with it, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be by not doing anything. That's all. By staying with the awareness. Then later on in your daily mindfulness, you will come to know how this fear arises. That there are causes and conditions behind it. But before it arrived, there was no fear. Then you trace the origination factor. Your that one that arise from here one are more difficult to trace because it's not from the senses, it's from your habitual tendency, it's from your whatever accumulated habitual tendency, which could be subtle, which you have not rooted out yet. So that one, when it manifests, it's not through the senses, it's not through the external senses, not after you hear something. Maybe in the office, I don't know, it could be triggered by something you hear. But like you say, it arrives, then after that it sees, then after that it arrives again. Maybe it is something that your subtle mind is holding on. And this one is what we call your habitual tendency that you have not rooted out. And the habitual tendency takes a while. So because of that, you need to go through the third way, completely silent everything. Then you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance is to be. Yeah. Then when you trace the origination factor by silencing, then you will be able to detect how it arises. But your that one not too sensitive one more difficult to detect. You need to silence. Yeah. And be more aware. More aware means not you aware, that awareness nature aware. Means be with whatever that arises. Like I thought got loop. Yeah? Anger arise, silence everything, stay with it. Don't try to suppress it. Don't try to like push it away. Don't try to do away with it. Yeah, that is the thought involved. Yeah? So silent and be with it. And see it cease. You have to go through it. Yeah? And that one is very penetrating, very powerful. Okay, now you continue. Yeah.
Actually, Baruto 这个 rising 是它是一个 incident 来的，因为我住的那个房子last month 有两个新的 tenants move 进来，来的，所以因为我们全部是男的嘛，有两个女的进来，就有一点。就有 reaction 了，
哎呀
，so that's why so the next day 那个 mind 就这样子 react。Actually， 我也看到那个是我的就是一些我的 fear， 我的一些 habitual， 就是不想和很多人。
Yeah， that's why you can trace the origination factor means it's from your views. What view you have to trace it deeper, understand not?Is how you develop that view in the early days. 因为你的 habitual, 你的习惯，你是 perceive thing in that direction and that manner already, like 一个习惯的嘛。So 它 it manifests, 它就显出来了。So this is how you trace the origination factor. Means these are dependent originating mind state. 你的 whether fear or 不爽 or whatever,is triggered off by what you see, observe, then the memory that recall that habitual way of perceiving things and reacting to things. Well, this is something you have to learn. Means, how can you retrospectively reverse all this so that in future they won't arise again? So the advice I've given you all is they are just the way they are.Understand? Condition like that, things like that. So learn to see things as they are. Whether it's a lady or a man, it's not important, understand? Because that is the reality. They are just the way they are. Then sometimes even if they are lady, they behave in a very way that to you maybe is not so proper or whatever. That one is your view, understand?The way you perceive them, you need to accept them for what they are. Then applying the word Eightfold Path means you need to greet people, that they are your new housemate, understand? Then get to know them, then develop the communication. How are you? Are you new? If you are new, not familiar with this place, anything you want to know or you want to seek our advice or what, we can help you. Just let us know. Then make yourself at home. Treat this place as whatever that your landlord have told you. So it will be easier. Yeah, my niece also stay in Singapore. Then the landlord also very good. The landlord actually not supposed to rent out the whole house. But because the mother is sick. So the landlord want to look after the mother.So he initially take my niece in. He let my niece stay in the master bedroom. Yeah, my niece liked that room. Then he stayed the other room. Then later on, he got two more tenants coming in. He decided to rent out the other two rooms. So of course, you got housemate lah. But no problem, is it? Because the landlord very good. They deal with all of them separately, understand not?He is the landlord, he's still the main owner, he sublet this tree. So my niece also find it very good. They don't have to be responsible for these two. Even they got tenant or no tenant, nothing to do with her. She still pay her that rent to the master bedroom. So you have to develop the understanding of the condition. Means understand that this is our society. Our society has law, and the house owner that rent it to you he didn't tell you his limit to how many tenant on it. Then your that place apartment or apartment?
It's a double story.
A double story lah. 有几个房间?
6间.
Oh, 这样就很多了，你有很多
没有, but 现在, currently 是只有我们三个人,
三个人啊, 我知道,
but these two ladies only come in for 3 months.
Oh, then no problem. Short term one.
Interns.
Oh, training.
Training.
Yeah, that one, they don't have any money. That's why they need that type of more affordable type of accommodation. 你现在就可以用八珍道啊, 来 root out all this whatever they call it wrong way of perceiving things. Because 那个 old way 啊, is your habitual way. So when you learn how to see things as they are, I mean, they are just the way they are. Accept them for what they are. No need to have preconceived idea, comment, wow, they all behave like that. Why they so talkative? Intern 吗? New 吗? 刚出来做工, and going through training. So, 你要有那个感恩的, like compassion or what they call understanding, to make them feel comfortable, safe and confident while staying there. Then 能够帮就帮咯, So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. That's why 那个八正道啊, the 修行法啊, a lot of things. So today, luckily, because you bring out the condition, it can let us understand better and deeper in how to trace the origination vector. Means see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Then you retrospectively develop the understanding to reverse all this. Means you contemplate and reflect. Why did I stir my mind? Why did I arise that fear or unhappy feeling and all those things? Just because I got two new tenants coming in and they are of the opposite sex. So all this come from the way you think and perceive the situation while living life. And this is what Sankara is all about. And Sankara Anicang, always remember. Sankara, if you attach and cling and give meaning to delusion, is dukkha. Now, that is what dukkha is, that fear and all those things. And Sankara Anatta, Anasana. That's why Anicang, Dukkha, Anatta. Anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity, non-self, not you. Means all these emotions that arise, they are not real, not intrinsic within you. So to retrospectively reverse all this is to straighten your view, not to perceive them that way anymore. They are just human beings, living beings. In our society, they are called intern. They came here because just like anybody, they want cheaper rental. Yeah, training, how much salary? Last time when they come training, they stay my house free. Even free also not easy for them to sustain. Because, you know, PJ, KL, must drive car. So the father bought, my brother bought her a car. And it's a very nice car. Of course, second hand. It's a must. But very nice car. Quite new. He bought from Langkawi and duty free. So, you think maintain a car cheap? Not cheap. Then they pay him only peanut. I think 1,000 ringgit only. So, food also not enough. Not to say pay for lodging and other things. But that is the training they go through. So, if they can get to stay with me, is yeah, they have good parami. Otherwise, to rent a place is not cheap. And your that type of place is very conducive. My niece also found that he moved further to Sengkang area. So pay much less rental. Then no need to do deal with housemate or those things. So they settle individually with the owner. So all this is how society evolve and develop. But we as a cultivator must develop the understanding to straighten our view so that we can apply Noble Eightfold Path to all situations so that we can be at peace with all things. Understand? Not only tenant, even landlord, even our own colleague or whatever. You have to develop that what they call Noble Eightfold Path quality, or they call it the noble values, noble path factor, to understand life, to live life, to be a blessing to all. Just like all this understanding is part and parcel of the cultivation. So to trace the origination factor is very important. That retrospectively straighten your view to reverse all this, so that in future, not only whether it's a lady, young lady, pretty lady, old lady or what, no different, they are just the way they are. Then when you have that understanding, you become very different, you treat people very well, but you must have wisdom, means no condition, no need to manifest anything. Got condition only manifest. Means they really have the condition for you to help. You help. Otherwise, don't try to keep on. Oh, they must apply. No, some, they scared of you or they don't want you to help. You better don't try to forget about it. Unless there is condition, then most of the time you acknowledge them, you smile and just introduce yourself. Are you new? Are you one of the subordinates? Nice meeting you. These are all called the 说好话, means right speech, appropriate, wholesome speech that can bring about harmony, understanding. Then people feel good, people feel confident. Then they know you are not the type that try to take advantage of them or try to make life difficult so that they quickly get out of that place so that you got a less housemate. These are all selfish people do all this activity. But when you have the understanding of the Dhamma, when you know how to manifest, you become very different. I remember in the early days when I came out to KL, PJ, to look for a place, we need to actually express ourselves in a very polite and conducive way so that people will have the faith and confidence to rent their room to us. So I also encountered quite a few of this situation, but I did it very well. You know, people like me. Then as housemate, we get along very well. Even roommate. Third year, final year, I got three roommates. So at that time, as a student, we can only afford 30, 40 ringgit a month. So that room was about slightly bigger, not the master bedroom, about 100 ringgit. So two of us will be 50 ringgit a year. So we managed to get another colleague, three of us. We pay only about 30 over ringgit, 33 something, almost less than 35. So that's how we developed the understanding. And we were very close. And you know, university student, one room, three persons, we're going to put three tables. Then our mattress cannot put on the floor, no, roll up. Want to sleep on it in front of your table, then you roll out and sleep. Then I got a radio. I like to listen to radio before I sleep. I like the Mandarin song. They never complain. But I also sensitive. I on the volume very low. So, 那个八珍刀要去理解多一点。 That's why I say the whole cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path is not easy. Especially right view is easy, but to expand on it is not easy. Then how it condition right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood, right living. how you conduct yourself, how you arise your thought process, then your speech, your action, the way you conduct yourself, the way you communicate with people, the way you bring about harmony, understanding, all the pleasant, gentle speech and conducive speech and action. That one you need to actually apply the four right effort. The right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you, develop it. Then, after you have developed some already, refine upon it and perfect it until it becomes a part of you. That's why you must have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path Factor to really become an enlightened one or Arya with those noble qualities. That's why the final practice is cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path under Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of all this. Okay, good. You continue. What time? 3 minutes. You summarize. Then later on, I share.
我就这个 cultivation 跟这个 understanding 真的是要去 go through。 like 这个 Sankara, like 这个第二次他来的时候，再加上该，不然就你一。 你 explain 了以后，就知道，就了解了。
Because what you are doing is everything your side, you know. 你还没有真的发动去了解八正道啊。 That's why I realize you find it quite difficult to root out that thing completely, 那个 habitual tendency. So 现在我才 recall how I did it last time. Yeah, I have to go through that phase of, to develop the Noble Eightfold Path. But 我自己会做, then my nature is like that. 我不会得罪人的东西，我不会跟人家吵什么的。 I every time, if possible, I will try to like give in or resolve things amicably. Like 有时候我跟你们 share 我在 supermarket or what, like. 逛街的话, sometimes this boys, it so happened that group was a group of youngsters, I think. They are actually another race. So they were running around, then they bang into me, you know. At that time, I already 50 over years old, I think. Then I straight away say, sorry. That young chap, he looked at me, you know. He said, uncle, you okay? He said, yeah. I said, sorry. Then after that, he talked to the friend. No? Tadi Elangga, dia cakap sorry. Oh, he also feel funny, you know. He said, normally I should be schooling, telling you. He said, this person different. That's how you will understand. Then, even if you meet with a car accident or one, when you come down, don't argue. Because that fellow already is not in the good mood. Hey, you argue, I tell him. Don't try to be right. To me, it's, I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm really sorry. If I have caused you anyone, please forgive me. So if you like that, then he will turn down. Otherwise, I tell you, he will look at you and say, oh, what the hell are you doing? You don't know how to drive a car. Then he may ask you to pay compensation or something. So look at the situation and understand how to resolve it amicably. So need to say, I'm sorry, say it. Let people feel good and understand. I'm really sorry. I don't know why something must have happened. I hope you are okay. Then resolve it. So this is part and parcel of what we call Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to develop the understanding in life so that we can resolve things amicably. Always remember, don't be emotional. Don't get angry, emotional, and come out with all the wrong speech, the hard speech, quarrel, argue, avoid all those things. The best way is, I remember your car incident. I think we better make police report and let the insurance pay. Or the first thing you tell him is, don't worry, don't worry. If he try to me or he say, I bought comprehensive insurance, you can claim my insurance, no problem. But we need to make police report. Then the moment he heard police report, he also reluctant. He also don't want to waste time. And then resolve it. So a lot of things can be resolved in a very, I should say, conducive and proper manner when you have the Dhamma. So passing down, reflect on it, contemplate on it, then the right effort, the third and fourth right effort, cultivate the five factor that are still not in you. Means the right effort to arise, the right thought, right speech, right action. Of course, the right view you already have, but you have to contemplate on it, reflect on it until very, very clear, until you can stabilize the understanding, you expand on it. Because karma niyama can be expanded, citta niyama can be expanded, dhamma niyama can be expanded. And these three are very powerful spiritual law. Their field is very extensive. Okay? So today, I think we should rejoice because of the condition. Yeah, this part I never shared before. I mentioned it before, but I never have a condition to share. Okay, so you want to summarize?
Yeah.
Okay, let us rejoice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit, and we will end the whole Zoom session.
Akasakasya bhumata devanaga mahindika punyam tamanumoditva chiran rakkhantu lokasasana ita vata chamehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasasampati hetoja. Pito bhavatu lokosya, raja bhavatu dhammiko, imina punyam kamena, mame bala samagamo, sattang samagamo hotu, yava nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole succession. Sadhu.